Mail it in Friday, hour two overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Scotty Barnes. He's throwing out the first pitch tonight down at the Jays game. He'll join us in about 40 minutes. We have not caught up with Scotty Barnes yet. Newest Raptor, youngest Raptor. He's coming in with a ton of fanfare. I'm really excited to have him in town and see what he brings this season. And I want to see that first pitch tonight. You know, so we'll ask him, has he been preparing for it? Is he nervous about it?
You love the first pitch.
I love the first pitch. Love the first pitch, Chatter.
Have you ever done it?
I've never been invited to throw the first pitch.
Yeah, you probably won't be either.
Probably not. No.
I think you would. Maybe
not because I'm saying you're not popular enough. You understand the dynamics. It's probably not happening.
With this current team and the company that I'm currently working for, probably not getting the invite. I can't imagine. Wouldn't that be amazing if they were like, total oversight. Like, we should get the overdrive guys out to throw the first pitch at the Dome. We should challenge them right now.
Griff,
you won't
us.
Do that. You won't. Yeah, come on, Jays. You won't do that. You won't have us out and throw the first pitch.
Come on,
let's
Griff,
see what you got.
Make it happen.
Griff
come
likes
on, Griff.
Us.
Let's see
right?
what you got. Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Griff
Why can't
used to
we come
a,
out and throw out the first pitch?
Griff used to be a regular on this show, did he not? I
Griff
always feel like he came on with us.
All the time, man. Richard right? Griffin. And he's a legend. We love Griff. And
yeah,
he's obviously has not been on the show for a couple of years since the new employment with the Jays. But yeah, he was on with us all the time, man. He used to come in studio with me back in the Hayes show, like seven, 8, 9 years ago. He'd put up with me,
yelling and screaming.
Yeah,
hot takes for days, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Especially if the Jays were struggling, you'd probably just be tuning them up.
At times, yep. If it called for it. You know, if it called for it, sometimes you'd have to lean in a little bit. And listen, Griff was not shy either. Let's be honest. Richard Griffin was never shy.
Shoot from the hip, too.
He'd shoot from the hip, for sure.
No, you could. I remember I would just absolutely roast somebody, and he'd be like, you're exactly right. I was like, he loves it.
Yeah, that's how you had to roll, man. He was a columnist, you know. He'd give his opinion. He'd have to write a column 3 times a week. Yeah. And if the goings are good, it's all good. And if they're not, then it's not. I mean, you know, the teams play the game. People just react to whatever the outcomes are. Like, there's no negative energy around the Jays right now. Who's yelling and screaming about the Jays?
Nobody.
Everyone's basking in it. Everyone's like, this is a spectacular run. There's a lot of positivity. Everyone's playing well. There's good energy. They're a very likable team. Right?
And
awesome.
The only question mark is Montoyo. Do you see him being the guy –
I think
Five
he's done enough now. Me. Oh, I do now, Noodles, because I came into the season with the bar for me in terms of defining it as a successful season was meaningful baseball in September. Well, they've already done that, and quite frankly, they've surpassed it. Like, now you've gone this far, now you got to punch your ticket, right? Like, the expectations, I think, are being altered, and the goalposts are moving here.
Right.
But if you had have told me in March that they'd be in a race, meaningful games, I'd say that was a successful season because I didn't think they were going to get in this year. You know, I thought the Yankees would be there. I thought Tampa would be there. And I thought they'd be a 500 club, give or take.
Right.
And they have certainly exceeded my expectations. I don't think I'm alone. I think most people shared the same expectations. So meaningful baseball alone is a good sign. And Montoya's been a part of that. And they've moved beyond that. You know, again, they're not just playing meaningful games. They're a pace car right now, holding on to a playoff spot. So Montoya's coming back next year. I'd be absolutely shocked unless someone became available that you just could not look past. And I don't have an answer on who that would be. I think Montoya is going to be the guy, and we're going to see what he brings into the future here.
I'm happy for the guy, and I talked about it before. I think it was Scotty Mitch a couple weeks ago where it was like, I thought Charlie was going to be the guy. Okay, let's work these young guys in, and you're not going to be the guy that gets them over the hump, but maybe he is the guy that kind of see this through, and I'm happy for him. I like seeing that.
I don't want to sound ignorant, but that's kind of what I always assumed he was going to be, kind of the interim, that's the wrong wording, because he's the manager and he's done a good job, but like kind of that you know, in between guy, and then the stopgap. You know, Vladdy settles in, yep. like all these kids settles in. He's, you know, speaks the language. That was a big part of it, right? With, you know, with Vladdy and, you know, helping them grow on and off the field. And then when they're ready to win, like it was somebody else. But that might not be the case because he's growing with these guys, right?
Exactly. So, yep. Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
And now all of a sudden the bullpen, which is, you know, during the game, the biggest part of the manager's job is utilizing the bullpen, knowing when to go to it, when to make a pitching change. All of a sudden you got healthy arms and pretty good arms.
Right.
And Montoyo is, I think, working the bullpen a lot better. It helps that you have starters that are going a lot deeper into games and offensive output that doesn't put stress on your bullpen. You know, like that's coming. That's coming in the foreseeable future, and especially if you make the playoffs. Like it is not going to be 7-2 going into the eighth inning in
right.
playoff games. Like it is going to be a grind. Every pitch matters. Every matchup matters. And that we'll see what he's got at that point and what the team's got and what this bullpen is really made of. But at this point, again, the Jays are in a very positive spot.
Yep.
And back in action down at the Dome with the Twins in town. And, again, Scotty Barnes will join us around 5:40. I'm assuming he'll be down at the Dome preparing for the first pitch tonight. So Scotty Barnes of the Raptors a little bit later on. But we've got a good Scarborough boy and longtime NHLer, longtime NHL head coach, and now he's an analyst with the NHL on TNT. I don't know if we've ever had Rick Tocchet on the show before.
I don't know.
But, which is shocking. But here he is joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Rick Tocchet. How you doing, Rick?
I wanted to, how come I haven't been invited, guys? What's the deal?
Great
yeah,
question.
As if you would have came on.
Yeah. Would have flushed our call, probably.
You guys only, you got to be a top six forward or top D to get on your show, boys. I get it.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, we've got a vetting process here. And, I guess maybe you didn't cut it. But we were talking, we were referencing you in the last hour when we were teasing the fact that you were coming on. And I said off the top of my head, I was pretty certain of the answer. But I was asking the question to the boys, who holds the record for Gordie Howe hat tricks? And do you know who holds the record for Gordie Howe hat tricks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you proud of that? Oh, it's Rick Tocchet
with
18.
I'll be honest with you, a lot of, like, you know, your buddies and friends always talk about how great it is. You don't really think of it, but, you know, I don't remember. You know, you have a goal and assist, and it's late in the game. I don't remember just like, oh, I want to get a fight to get that, you know, whatever that stat is, right? I don't remember it. But as I, you know, have it and look at it, it's pretty cool, I guess. I don't know. Was it 18, right, I think?
18, yeah. You're one ahead of Shanahan. Shanahan's at 17, and obviously he's not catching you now. And
exactly.
I don't think anyone's going to catch you now.
I guarantee you there's guys that are bitching and complaining, saying they had a bunch that nobody really counted, that nobody knows about, because it would, like – to really dig through and find that, I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be that hard, but I guarantee you there's guys that are claiming they have more.
Well, if they got a problem, that we can always try to figure something out with it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, they can find you, and you guys can have a little conversation. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's just like the plus minus. Like, I think, and I can't even, I don't know if you guys know, when they started really looking at that, you know, I was publicizing that stat, Brad McCrimmon and Mark Howe, they had to be plus 90 or 100 one year. I mean, they were so freaking good. I don't know when that started, but yeah, back in the day, that's some of the stats they have. And, you know, I'm sure you can watch old tape and figure it out, but yeah.
Talk, how did the TNT situation develop? I think you're such a highly regarded coach. Did you just say you're going to wait this thing out and maybe something pops up, or you just wanted to jump at the idea of the TV? How did it all come about?
Well, I had a great summer in process. I mean, I interviewed with a bunch of teams where I went to pretty deep with Seattle and the Rangers, and you know, with Columbus, and talked to Buff a little bit. But I really enjoyed the process talking. I really didn't know much about the GMs and the organization, so that was fun. And then when I didn't get those jobs, I had some teams called about, you know, as an associate coach role, and then my agent called to TNT to like you to come and test. And I went in, I flew down to Atlanta for half, you know, the day there and tested, and they came back and said they would like to sign me. So there was a lot of stuff going for that week in my head. I love coaching, and my point was, do I go back into the grind as an assistant coach, or do I take this job and see if something opens up next year? And, you know, I wrestled around with that idea, and then I took this opportunity. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think TNT really wants to – kind of do some creative different ways of, you know, doing things, which is kind of nice. And they really want to grow the game. Good bunch of guys that they've hired. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I saw the roster, and I'm certain that you'll settle in right away. But, you know, you being on the other side of it for so long as a player and a coach, I'm sure there's nights where you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about on TV, about our team or about what I'm doing? Now you're the guy. Now you're the guy who's going to be breaking stuff down. Have you thought about that? And especially, you know, the relationships you have in the game. I know when I first started in the media, oh, you probably are the same way, where you got a lot of friends that are, you know, throughout the league. But you also have to speak your mind and be honest. You know, have you thought about that? Have you thought about maybe a style, or just kind of shoot from the hip and kind of let things fall where they may?
Yeah, that's a good question. The executives at TNT asked me that. Am I afraid to, you know, to be able to say, you know, your opinion, and if you're, you know, if there's a situation that might be a little sticky? And I said no. Like, I'll never do. It'll never be personal with anything I say. It's just gonna be an opinion, what I believe. And I mean, I've been in the league 35 as a coach or a player for 35, 40 years. So, you know, my situation is, you know, I kind of think I know a lot of stuff and know a lot of people, but I also, you know, I'm not afraid to tell you my opinion, you know, and I think that's something that's important, that, you know, you owe the viewership your, you know, the honest truth, you know, and I think that's something I will do, but it'll never be personal. What kind of style? I think for me is just be myself. Like, you know, they really describe just like sitting around a happy hour with a bunch of people and talking. And, you know, whatever point or subject come up with, and just, you know, just talk it out. And I think that's something that, you know, hopefully I can become good at. I mean, I did this in Philly when I wasn't coached for 3 years. I did the pre and post game with the Flyers and got a little experience, but, you know, I still got a long way to go. You know, that's why it's important that you listen and learn from some other people. But I'm just going to approach it like I'm sitting around telling, you know, like a happy hour kind of setting.
Well, that's something that will be embraced, and obviously there's always storylines. There's going to be a ton of great ones coming up this season. And we're chatting with Rick Tocchet, newest member of the NHL on TNT. And Connor McDavid, I'm sure, will have a bunch of primetime games on, whether it's TNT, ESPN, TSN, whoever it is, and he's always going to be the talk of hockey.
Yes.
And you've coached against him. You've seen him forever. I'm curious about how much more he has in store, how much you think he has available to him in terms of improving offensively, or has he just reached the top here, and even if he plateaus for the next 7 or 8 years, he's still going to be the best player in the league? Like, where are your expectations in terms of growth year over year, considering he's been in the league for a while now?
Yeah, like, so let's, you know, like, stating the obvious, is obviously he's an unbelievable player. Is there room to grow? Absolutely. He's the best guy off the rush I've ever seen in many, many years. He's very hard to defend in open ice. Can he get his game down, hash mark down? I think that's something where he can improve on. You know, he's still great at it, but I think there's still room to grow down there. And obviously playing, you know, there might have to be a little sacrifice on a 200-foot game. You know, that's, you know, you're basically playing the season, you know, obviously to make the playoffs, but, and when you make the playoffs, how to play that game in the playoffs. And that's really, you know, how do you beat a team in 7-game series? And you might have to change a few things of your game sometimes in the game. And I think that's something, and I could see that he's going to, even last year, he's changed a few things in his game because of that. But this is, you know, a ton of pressure on Edmonton. You know, you got the two great hockey players that, you know, people want to see in the playoffs. They want to see him go deep, and they've yet to do that. So tons of pressure how he deals with it. But just a terrific, you know, I mean, he's a terrific player and obviously teammate. And like anybody, it's like Sidney Crosby. You can ask the Gretzky's, the Miros. You always got to improve your game somehow and adjust to the league, how they're defending you or how they're approaching you. So it'll be interesting to see how he does a few different things this year.
Chatting with Rick Tocchet, you're from Toronto. You understand the market. You understand the team and the history of it all. You've obviously been watching from afar now. There's some angst in the city, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, based on them just hitting a wall every year into the playoffs, and they can't break through. And they're committed to these four forwards up front, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander. They're not going to change the script. They're going forward with it. Are you a believer that it will break through? And if so, do you think this will be the season that it finally does happen, where they knock down the wall and they do what a lot of people have been waiting for them to do for quite some time?
Yeah, and it's there's another team with a ton of pressure on with some high level guys that they got to break through. I remember going to Pittsburgh as assistant coach a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and I know Crosby and Malkin for about 7 to 8 years. They got kind of criticized. They couldn't, after they won the Cup, they had a drought there. They couldn't really go far in the playoffs. And I'm not sure necessarily it's fair to really give it to those guys all the time. I mean, sure, they take their criticisms, but I'll tell you what, when I got there, I remember Jim Rutherford got, Matt Cullen and Nick Bonino, Patrick Horn, just solid veteran leadership guys. And it was almost like a breath of fresh air where Sid could, he was a great captain, but it was almost like he could relax now. He didn't have to carry the torch, but always be the, I got to say the right things and do this and that. And those guys took a lot of that burden off Sid. And he, for 2 years or whatnot, I couldn't believe the way Sid played a 200-foot game and Malkin. So it to me, is that the Leafs can find those type of guys to take a little bit of pressure off the Marner and those guys. And then plus, Matthews, you got to deal with pressure. Games 5, 6, and 7 is when you need those guys to play. I know Mitch had a tough series there. I think game 5, 6, and 7 there. Those are the moments where you need those guys that, it's a 2-2 game to make that right play to win the game. And I think that's something that, they're trying to find. So it's a give and take with that. Do I think that they have a shot? Absolutely. I think goaltending is something that always is something any team, how good goaltending is and your defense, but they can score goals. Can they win game tight games in a series and stuff? That's really what it comes down to. And who's going to make that pressure goal? You see the Crosbys and Ovechkin when they won the Cup. Those guys, what they would do in the playoffs.
Yeah, we've talked about it ad nauseum with this team, and they're committed to those guys. Those guys are going to have to deliver if the Leafs are going to win. And they go and, add some, I guess we'll call it, looking for depth around that core. And one of the guys is Michael Bunting. And I'm looking, I believe you coached him last year. Yes. in Arizona. Any insight on him? I mean, we watched you guys play a little bit last year, but if you're not familiar with him, what is he going to bring to the Leafs, or when he's on his game, what do you expect him to bring to the Leafs?
Now, we use that word greasy, but he's a guy that is 25, 26 now. He's been in the minors a lot of years. We brought him up. I hate to use the word soft, we're a perimeter team. He came in, and that guy was around the net all night, and he scored, 11, 12 goals in 20 games. And there's a reason why. If he can do that consistently and learn what it takes to stay in the league, he's going to score those goals for Leafs. He's a pretty good skater. He's an underrated skater, but he's a guy around that he tips a lot of pucks. He's a greasy guy. He's really got himself in shape the last couple of years. I think when I first got there, I didn't know much about him, but he's coming to camp and, wasn't in the greatest shape, but I think he dedicated himself to be in shape. So he's an interesting guy. He's a guy that can play up and down the lineups for Sheldon. I think he's a guy that he can get those greasy goals. And he wants to play in Toronto. I think some other teams that offer him, I don't know whether the same or a little bit more, but he wanted to go to Toronto. So that's even another, another great thing. So I think he could do a really good job for Toronto in that role.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing your new role on the NHL on TNT. Best of luck with it, Rick, and we really appreciate you doing this. We'll catch up again down the road. Enjoy the season, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
You got it. There he is, Rick Tockett, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time through Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.
He's an intimidating guy. Now I think back of I've watched him fight 3 feet in front of me. Rudy Poshchek or tough defenseman or, guys. And it's a punch in the face contest back
then. That's how he fought, man. Those guys, it was him, Roberts, Corson, guys like, it was just,
Shanny.
Shanny was in there. It's like, let's just. Aginla,
Yeah.
Like, let's just punch and fight and go score.
Score.
Yeah. He was on Team Canada. And was it 87 he was on in the Canadian team?
Yeah.
I think he was.
But that's the thing. He could play any which way you want.
He is just an honest guy. As scary as he was, you could go and you could finish your check, and it's not like he was going to cross check you in the head. But if you wanted to get goofy, That's where you're risking your life.
Well, let me put this into perspective, okay? The 87-88 season, so that would have been right after the Canada Cup. He played 65 games that year. He had 31 goals, 33 assists, so 64 points. He was a point-a-game guy, 31 goals, 65 games, 299 penalty minutes. He didn't play 17 games. That might have been an 84-game season. He may have missed 19 games. He still had 299 PIMs.
He liked to get involved.
That's a guy who's in the middle of things. I love how he's like, wow, we were a perimeter team.
He basically wanted to say that his team was the biggest bunch of losers.
I didn't go to Phil Kessel because, everyone talked about
how – he just threw it out there. I kind of saw it. Well, like a perimeter-type team.
Yeah, he was about to say we were, soft as baby crab, but he wasn't going to say that. So he just – yeah, we were a bit perimeter, and he wasn't shy to go to the inside. But, he's a guy that it's talked about where he developed chemistry with Phil Kessel, was able to get him to settle in Pittsburgh, and then when brought him into – Arizona. Mm-hmm. Phil is who he is, but if you look at it, Phil continues to play every game, every year, and put up points. Now, they're not winning points. Arizona's not going to win, but Phil Kessel does his job in, from a statistical standpoint, put it that way.
Oh,
every year.
For sure. Phil, every absolutely. Year. And he'll play 82 games this year. That's what I expect. I'd be surprised if he didn't. Scotty Barnes coming up. He's throwing out the first pitch tonight for the Jays, and he's in town, and he's here for good, man. The Raptors camp right around the corner, so we'll catch up with Scotty in about 20 minutes. And Sean Merriman still to come on the Thursday night or last night, looking ahead to week two. We've got a lot cooking this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Scotty Barnes in 15 minutes ahead of his first pitch of the Jays game tonight. He's in town. Raptors camp opening right around the corner. Sean Merriman in about an hour. On Washington finding a way to win last night. And Dexter Lawrence goes offside on the first kick. It was a botched kick, a missed kick. And then they reload, and Washington ends up with a win last night. Daniel Jones, did enough to cover, just not enough to win last night. That's the story of the Giants. And they're 0-2 again. All they do is start 0-2, and they're in big trouble. And there's a lot of big games this weekend. And we will have our picks coming up later this afternoon. We just had Rick Tocchet on. Great to have him on, and we'll see what he brings on the NHL on TNT. And I saw today, I did not realize, we've talked about this a lot, and I knew it, but I guess it became more clear now because we're getting into hockey season and everyone's in town and camps are right around the corner.
Right.
That Patterson and Hughes do not have a contract in Vancouver, and camp opens up in a week.
Yeah.
It was almost like it just
snuck up on you?
Snuck up on me, yeah. Like, we've talked about that last year multiple times. We talked about it, came up different times in the summer.
First of all, because those deals usually get done long before.
Right, and Benning said, we still have time, which is true. They do have time. They just don't have a ton of cap space. So, you can move pieces around. You can bury some money.
Well, that's what he did. He dumped a bunch of money into Arizona, right? He got rid of Erickson's contract, Beagle. Now, you picked up Oliver, Leckman, Larson.
Too.
Yeah, and Garland, right?
Yeah.
Those are two good players. But you got to find the money for both of those players. I said this last year. I don't know if you guys ever felt the wrath, but you know me. I always try to be – I don't fly the flag for the Maple Leafs. I don't fly the flag for anybody. But some jackass in Vancouver – some blogger or something was like, McLennan doesn't know, typical Toronto media. All I said was, what is the marketplace? Like, what is Pettersson worth? Honest number. Like, what is
it's
he worth?
It's a reasonable question. Last year, he had a throwaway season.
Well, he hurt his wrist or whatever. But what I said is, I think, Barzell type of neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Sounded right to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it came out on our show, but we were like, well, he's not Mitch Marner. I don't see him as Marner. And of course, that's the clip, or that's something that they ran, was like, well, of course, typical Toronto media. I'm like, yeah. Plays differently. All I was saying is, I don't know. He's a very unique player for me, because I think he's got a trajectory of being a superstar, but two seasons with 68 points type of thing, but I think he's you know, certainly could be a 90-point guy and all of that, but it's just
last year where it clouds it a little bit, because if he continued his trajectory and dominated the league last year,
right,
and
then
the
we don't
Vancouver
think twice
Canucks
about it.
Were awesome, you're like, this guy could ask for the world and get it. And as far as Quinn Hughes, he's probably looking at Cale Makar saying, I don't know what this is going to look like, but it better not be too different than that. I'm sure he's probably thinking that, wouldn't he be?
I'm sure he's asking for it. He shouldn't expect it. He's not as good as Cale Makar. Like, he hasn't. Cale Makar was up for the Norris. Hughes did not have a great year. Now, the whole team, like, relatively speaking, Hughes didn't have a great
year. It's not apples and oranges, though. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, it is. No, and I understand that. No, and they both came in at the same time, and they're both up, and Makar got a monster deal. Well, he got, what, 9.5 over 8, I think it was?
He got, yeah, it was 9. Wasn't it 9? Because
maybe
Jones
nine
got
over
9.5, and I think Nurse got 9. Like, there was 3 or 4 deals where you're like, hold on a second.
It was
here.
A $9 million fest a couple months ago.
Where Morgan Riley's going, hold on a second here. Like, I know he might be, just because of his age group, a little bit different, but this is a pivotal season for Morgan. We'll get into that later, but I look at marketplace. I think Hughes is a fantastic player. I think Pettersson's a fantastic player. My comments were more around what are they going to come into? Like, is it relative to the Vancouver Canucks, how Toronto structured their salaries, or is it going to be relative to the league? Yeah, are you using other comparables throughout the league and their contract structure? So I thought it was an innocent comment, and of course I got either radioed or whatever, and I had to block a bunch of dopes on Twitter.
Well, who cares? I mean, listen, here's the truth about Pettersson is that he's had injury problems early in his career, which makes it more difficult to evaluate. You know, no one would question the talent. You know, he won the Calder. The guy, he's a thoroughly entertaining player. And I'm with you. I think he's got the capabilities of putting up, you know, an 85-point season, 90-point season, being a guy that's got an incredibly deceptive shot, great shot, offensive instincts. He's a poster boy in terms of the entertainment value he brings. He'll sell jerseys, tickets, everything. I mean, across the board. But he is, you know, his first year he played 71 games. His second he played 68. Last year he played 26. You know, so, like, it's difficult to get a read on it. And he's not the biggest guy in the world.
Well,
so what is he worth? I think Barzal's a reasonable comparison.
But that's where I went to, because if I'm looking at it, let's say, you know, 2 years ago he had 66 points in 68 games. Let's say he's a point-a-game guy. That's an 82-point guy. That's where Barzal kind of – and what did Barzal sign for? 3 at 7, but in the last year it's a $10 million qualifying offer. So, you know, I thought, okay, where does he fall? Market has changed.
It's a pointless exercise of what we think, and we talked about it with Bergevin and his comments about Kotkaniemi, Jamie. It's all about what the agent and the player's perception of themselves is and the value that he brings to the Vancouver Canucks, and he doesn't give a rat's ass about Matthew Barzal's contract, because if he has an evaluation of himself that's greater than that, that's what he's expecting, and he probably won't show up until it gets somewhere close to that, and that's the bottom line.
Well, you got to be careful with that, too, because we
see
how...
No kidding, but that's how it works, man.
I know. When guys miss training camp, like, you just feel like you're chasing it. I personally want Vancouver to have a bounce. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for them last year as far as, you know, COVID, their schedule, all of that. Like, I'd like to see them. I thought they had a nice offseason. I'd like to see them right back on the map with those young players playing well. That Hughes is a dynamic player. He's a hell of a player.
Oh, he's so much fun to watch.
A great player. This Demko's a great goaltender, too. Like, you know what? He's coming into his own. They might have a team that could surprise some people, especially in that division. Like, the last thing you need is, like, both these guys to be missing camp.
Oh, it changes the whole complexity of your team. Like, that's your number one center and your number one defenseman, you know?
Right.
Like, effectively, like, those are your two centerpieces in terms of what you hope they're bringing to the table in terms of Pettersson's fourth year and Quinn Hughes' his third full year. Like, they're into their primes now. They're on you know, the fifth tee. You're warmed up now. You know what I mean? Like, go out
there
and get it. And if they're going to they're going to get paid, as they should, based on the economic structure of the NHL and the way it works now. It's not 1984 anymore. Like, young guys, centerpieces, they know their value, they know what they want, they're going to get it. You're haggling over a million, million and a half, maybe a year or two on the deal.
Right.
You know, that's That's what we're talking about here.
But lock them up. Like that, if I'm, you know, if
I'd
I'm back
to lock both of them up.
Up. You got to lock them both up because you got Demko on a really nice contract. So now you'd have your number one goalie, your number one defenseman, and then your number one forward on term. And that has to be the thought process. But the challenge is, what is the number on term given what you're seeing other guys get paid throughout the league?
Well, that's the challenge. And like Besser, I believe he signed a bridge. He'll be up after this season.
Right.
So, you know, that's the nature of the NHL. That's the nature of a cap that doesn't move because of a pandemic and evolving cap structure because the youth is looking to get paid, but the vets are still sitting there like JT Miller and others on Vancouver, using them as an example, and they want to be paid.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the story in Vancouver, I'm sure, is what's happening with Pettersson and Hughes between now and the beginning of camp. And then if you blow past that stop sign, the beginning of the season, you blow past that stop sign, then you're talking nuclear meltdowns, you know.
Right,
like,
yes.
Then it's nuclear at that point.
Like, that fan base doesn't want that, Hayes. They're like, we want these guys ready to rock, and let's get rocking here and try to be better because we can't afford to miss a 20-grain stretch without them, or we're screwed again.
Mm-hmm. They're a passionate fan base. You know that, and it's just they'll be just as frustrated and just as loud, believe me, if Jimmy Benns doesn't get it going here.
Of course, yeah. Benning's the guy that people will be focused on, naturally. Scotty Barnes coming up. Raptors' fourth overall pick. He's down at the Dome throwing out the first pitch tonight. We'll catch up with Scotty. Sean Merriman still to come. Our Leafs pressure draft, our picks for week two on Sunday. A lot more still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 in on TSN 4. All right, Sean Merriman in just under an hour looking ahead to a Sunday slate in the NFL. And it got kickstarted last night with Washington coming from behind. Late field goal, second try, but the Washington football team is 1-1. The Giants are now 0-2. Jays were off last night. They are not off tonight. They're back in action with Minnesota in town down at the Dome. Big series for them. They got Minnesota seven times in the next couple of weeks. And they're a half game up on the Yankees, currently tied with Boston. And you'll have 15,000 people down there tonight. The Dome will be open. It's hot. It's a beautiful night here in Toronto. And Scotty Barnes is throwing out the first pitch. And we got to get to the bottom of this. How do you prepare for the first pitch? Any nerves? Have you been maybe trying to warm the arm up a little bit? Let's head down to the Dome now. Here he is, fourth overall pick with the Raptors. He's in town. It's great to have him. First time on the show. Here is Scotty Barnes. What's happening, Scotty?
How you doing? Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, it's great to have you on. And we love talking to people who are about to throw out the first pitch. It's one of our favorite topics.
Okay.
We get nervous. We get nervous for you. Like, what kind of heat are we expecting tonight? Are you going to throw a strike? Have you been warming up? What's your mentality going into it tonight?
Well, you know me. I'm not nervous at all. You know, I got a cannon on my arm, so expect a nice fastball that's right down the middle. Nothing more, nothing less. A great cannon. You know, I got a good arm. You know, I've been practicing a little bit.
Okay. Well. You're putting it out there, man. Now that's on the record. We're expecting heat.
Cannon of an arm.
A cannon of an arm, because you know what comes with this territory. If you throw one wide left or wide right, that thing's going viral quickly tonight.
All right. I think I might get another deal signed after tonight. Might be joining the league, you know.
Okay. Yeah, the Jays could help. They could use some help in the bullpen. You throw a strike, man, they might actually look to sign you. You could pull off a dual sport type of scene, but you've been in town, you've been making noise on Instagram, you're walking the streets of Toronto recently, Instagram Live, and getting a ton of reaction for that. What have you learned about the city now that you're up here?
I just been seeing how diverse the city is. It's just a beautiful city, nice, beautiful, very clean city. People are nice here, so that's just really what I've been seeing from the city so far.
Give us your favorite restaurants. Anything pop out at you where you like hanging out? What's kind of catching your eye downtown?
I didn't really go out to any restaurants. I only went to one restaurant. It was called, Cactus Jack or something like that. That's why.
Cactus.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but I've been somewhere.
There's some good scenery in there. Yeah, Cactus Club, that's a good spot. That's a good spot downtown. And we saw in your Players Tribune piece, you've been by Drake's house. Is that like that just like a part of the package? The second you got drafted, did you expect that to be the case, or how did that come about?
I didn't expect anything. It was actually my birthday on that day I went to. So I came down here, it was on my birthday, and we went over to the Scrip.
It's a pretty decent spot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent spot. Big spot. A lot of different things going on there, you know?
Yeah, that's not bad up there at on the Bridal Path where Drake hangs out. We're chatting with Scotty Barnes of the Raptors. Take us back to draft night because, you know, we're tracking the mock drafts like everyone else, and everyone's claiming that it's going to be Jalen Hurts or Jalen Green or Evan Mobley, whoever's there at four. And obviously you were expected to go, you know, in the top five, top six. But what was your reaction when the Raptors took you at four?
I would just say it was just a huge rush of excitement. I didn't really know what was going to happen, what was going to go on. But when they just called my name, it was just a huge rush of emotions, just so surreal, a huge amount of excitement. I was just happy to be with the program.
Well, I know they were happy, obviously, to take you, man. They had to move up. They had to win the lottery to get up there to get you at four. And, you know, Masai has been talking you up, and Bobby Webster and Nick Nurse, and now that you're here and you got to get through camp, you got to get to the regular season to actually start playing. But I'm sure you've dreamt about, you know, getting to the NBA and playing against one specific player. Who is that player that you are most looking forward to playing against in the NBA?
I wouldn't say I really had a specific player when I just dreamed about playing against. I'm just really looking forward to just playing against the competition and being able to play against those guys. Day in, day out, and just playing against the whole league. I would just really say that. I'm really just to be ready for that level of competition where I'm able to showcase my abilities and where I could be able to guard those guys at the highest level.
So let me paint you a picture then. The Lakers are in town. Scotiabank's packed. 20,000 Raptors fans. It's a close game late. Nick Nurse goes, you're on 23, or you're on 6. I guess he's going back to 6. You're on LeBron. What's your reaction? What's your mentality? How do you approach that assignment?
I would just say my mentality. I'm a dog when I step on the floor, so I'm gonna be ready for the matchup. Well, that's who I would want. I like to guard the best players that's on the floor anyway. So I'll just say I'm ready for that. I'll be able to sit down guard. I feel like I'll be able to get that stop.
Okay, well, there you go, man. We're nice. We're on the record for stopping LeBron in the fourth and a cannon tonight, first pitch. I like it. I'm loving the confidence. And hearing you speak, and we heard you on draft night, we've heard you in summer league and all, it sounds like you got high expectations for yourself in your rookie season. And it's just about, I guess, finding a rhythm, right? How do you intend on leaning on the veterans on this team to maybe help you get through this first year?
Of course, the vets, they just know so much with the experience that they have. So it's going to be great to just learn from them each day because it's a learning process throughout this whole entire time. So it's going to take a lot for me to just seek knowledge from them, try to get their wisdom, their knowledge on the game because they know so much. They came from winning culture already with having a ring on the team, knowing so much from being here with the system and the program. So it's just going to be a learning process for me to just learn from those guys each and every day.
Well, we can't wait to see you in camp. We can't wait to see you on the mound tonight throwing out the first pitch. Or is there going to be an Instagram Live going for you tonight when you're on the mound throwing the pitch out? Or what is the plan in terms of Instagram?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's a great idea, though. We might have to steal that one.
Yep, go for it. Do it, man. You got to do it. It's exactly what people want and what people expect. So good luck with that. Good luck with camp. Welcome to town. We can't wait to see you play. And we appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you, Scotty.
Thank you so much for having me.
You
appreciate you guys.
Yep, you too. There he is, Scotty Barnes. Fourth overall pick, confident guy. And I like hearing that, man. Like,
cruising
whatever gets thrown at him.
The Cactus Club.
The Cactus Club.
Wow.
I haven't been down there in a couple of years. But Cactus Club. Oh, yeah. I think I have an idea why Scotty was kicking around the Cactus Club.
Yeah, for sure.
But do they have a rooftop there? I think they might.
I think they do. Yeah, I've been. I don't know. I've been on the third level there. I don't know if it's open to the, you know, like open air or not. But it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I've only been to the Cactus Club, I think, twice, but both times it was moving and shaking.
Yeah, there's generally a bit of a vibe down there, you know. Yeah. But
yeah, that was on a nights out, though. You go there for a few drinks and then you head out type of thing. And
absolutely.
That whole scene has changed downtown now. Be interesting to see once.
I'm completely ignorant to it. I haven't been down there in a couple years, you know, really since probably February 2020.
Dude, I couldn't even tell you. If somebody called me and said, I'm in town, where should I go? I wouldn't even have a clue other than like a dinner spot. After that, I wouldn't even know.
Well, I don't
know. I would probably, if I didn't know Croc Rock got torn down, I would say go to Croc Rock on a Wednesday. That's all I know.
Well, my, you
like,
know,
that's the dinosaur I am right now.
Right.
Croc Rock.
But the underground is gone too. Right?
I know. That's
they
the crazy
that
thing.
That
was one of the first ones
one.
To go, remember? Yeah. Remember, it was one of the first ones to go. I remember.
Oh, yeah. They said they couldn't keep it open.
Well, because the rent was like $50,000 a month. And there's no business. There's no one coming in. Right. Like, that's obviously what was incredibly difficult for a lot of people is the landowners, the landlords are like, we still got to charge you. You're still here. You're a tenant.
Right.
And you're like, I don't have any income. There's nothing coming in.
Well, and those bar, like that, especially the underground, like that second level, you go up there. Like, that would be a super spreader. Like,
it's as tight as it gets. That's the tightest bar in Toronto.
Yeah, and everyone's greasy and sweaty in there, just loving it. I mean, it's one of my favorite of all time bars to go to in Toronto.
Oh, great
spot.
Not
in the Orbit Room, and I believe the Orbit Room shut down, too.
I think you're right.
College.
Yep, so, up on College. Yeah, great spot. That's, that's, you know, it's depressing. Yeah, it really is. You know, and it's a reality of what we've all gone through and what a lot of people have had to deal with. And hopefully as we come out of this and when we come out of this, you know, everything will blossom again and new places will pop up. And
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, we can't turn back the clock anyway. It's not like we're going to be 25 again.
I know.
I'm not exactly looking for a place I can go to until 2 in the morning or 2:30 in the morning. But at some point, get back out, get downtown and get moving,
nice.
Get shaking. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll see Scotty Barnes down there, Instagram Live.
I found out today that the hotel, the Thompson Hotel, is no longer, like, it's a different name now.
Oh, the Thompson is not the Thompson anymore.
It's called the One. It's called One Hotel or something.
Really?
It's called there today.
So
yeah, because I'm.
Didn't they get rid of the Thompson Diner too? It was there forever.
That was my favorite place to eat for breakfast.
Great diner, like three in the morning. You go in there.
Well, 3 in the morning, you're in a lineup. They got a velvet rope there. 3 o'clock in the morning get in and have eggs and bacon.
But I think they shut that down before COVID hit.
I don't know, but
I think they were shutting that down.
Yeah, I found that out today, literally.
Yeah. Well,
oh, well,
that's what are you going to do?
Yeah,
it's a shame.
Exactly.
So thanks again, dude.
It's a shame. Well,
it's
it
a
is.
Shame that the
dude, it is a
Diner
shame
is.
That some of those cool places to go to are no longer, man. I mean,
yeah.
You talk about the underground, dude. That was everybody's midnight place, man.
Well, the Croc Rock was going again before COVID hit because they were selling it for condos or development or whatever it was going to be. So the Croc Rock was out of the picture. I got the impression because I went back and forth with the owner of the underground. I kind of felt like he was looking to maybe get out anyway. I don't know if that's true or not, but because they had popped up a couple of different places. There was like another underground up the street or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
just
called.
Around the corner. Awesome place.
Yeah, great spots. So, you know, but listen, the Jays are in town this weekend. Tonight, the patios will be popping downtown. You got TIFF going on. You know, there is stuff. It is very different this September, clearly, than it was last September.
Right.
Right? It can be difficult to see the forest through the trees, but it is. Living a different lifestyle, a more livable lifestyle this September than we did last September.
Right.
Just the fact that you can go to a Blue Jay game. You know, and we still don't have an announcement on capacity for the Jays and for the Leafs and the Raptors. And, you know, the other teams throughout the country have been given an answer. Like, my understanding is Montreal, Vancouver are going to be partial capacity, like half capacity or some sort of percentage. They're wide open in Alberta and wide open in Winnipeg. So Pac Barn in Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, half building, give or take, in Vancouver, Montreal. And then it's Toronto and Ottawa where we still don't have an answer.
I think we'll get an answer after the election. That's my...
Well, yeah, that's become abundantly clear that the provincial government is... Yeah. They have exited stage left until after next Monday.
Yeah, but then once you'll get it soon enough, but I just can't see it being a full building. But
me neither.
I don't know. I think in Ottawa they're hoping. I don't know. Either way, I'm
I think they're both hoping. Why would the Leafs not be hoping? Like, if you're the right. Leafs and it's a business and we just had this conversation about bars and stuff, you're hoping you can get back to capacity.
Yeah, I just hope for it because there's already whispers of players and their thoughts on playing in Canada and how the COVID situation is being handled. So I just hope that, and I understand safety's first. We got to care about everybody and be safe and all that. But I just don't want anybody in a Canadian team saying, check, please. I can't stand playing in front of 7,000 people or 5,000 people when the New York Rangers have 20,000 screaming fans in the building and this sucks. I don't want to see any of that garbage.
Well, I mean, I would say you probably got to get ready for it. If that's what they're going to do, that's what they're going to do. You know, the thing is, the players are crossing the border this year.
Pardon?
Like, they're going across the border this year. So they're playing their games in New York. They're going to California. You know, that's where, like, last year, maybe it was out of sight, out of mind. You didn't know any better if you're a Canadian team. Like, you saw it on TV come the end of the season and into the playoffs, but all you knew was empty buildings. That'll be a kind of a shock to the system if there's like 7,500 people. It's not only about 7,500 people. It's masked. It's, you know, limitation on what you can do. I think there'd be way more anxiety in the building about, you know, yelling, screaming, and all that. Where in the States, it's just like in the playoffs, they were going insane. Like, no mask, no anything, yelling, screaming, going crazy. The roof was popping off. Yeah. And I don't think that'll be the case up here. Hour three coming up. Sean Merriman on week two in the NFL. Our picks, our Leaf pressure draft. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.